Joshua was the 5-star general. Thousands stood and saluted when he walked by. His tent was the Situation Room. When Israel needed a win, they called on Moses. When Moses needed a win, he called on Joshua. But Moses was gone now, and God had promoted Joshua from commander of the army to commander-in-chief. It was Joshua's turn to lead God's people across the wilderness into the Promised Land. They crossed the Jordan River on dry ground, just like God said they would. And when their sandals stepped safely on the other side, they set up camp in a place called Gilgal. And at Gilgal, something marvelous and miraculous happened. For 40 years, they had eaten wonder bread from heaven in the morning, every morning. But on that day, they went into their fields and farmed fruit from their land. When they could finally farm their own fields, then God stopped sending the manna. But Joshua's mind is not on the fruit salad. He's got that faraway look in his eyes. Everybody's tossing apples to each other, just happy to eat something with more sugar and flavor and manna, but not Joshua. He's worried. His brow furrowed. He's wondering how he's going to get his wandering band of once slaves, but now supposed to be soldiers, to take out the most formidable foe they have ever faced and possibly will ever face. This is one of the first fights Israel will pick with their new neighbors, and they are going up against the number one team in the land. They're not coasting into the season with a cupcake win against Middle Tennessee State Community College of Dentistry. They're taking on number one Bama on day one. They're ramping to go against Jericho. Jericho was as fortified a city as it could possibly be, protected by a double wall that encircled the city. One source says the outer wall was 16 feet high. Not even LeBron's jumping that wall. But even if he could get over the first wall, there's still a high hill to climb and another high wall to scale, which rose as high as 4 stories. Jericho was impenetrable. There's no going against Jericho and coming out alive. But if Israel was going to live in the Promised Land God promised them, they would have to take on and take out Jericho. How would you feel if you were General Joshua? All of this is turning over in his mind. How would he do this? Should he do this? Should he wait to do this? How many men will he lose if he does do this? All of these questions swirling around in his mind. Until what? Well, you're going to find out right after this. Good day, Simplify listeners. You're listening to L.J. Harry, and you're listening to The Third Army on Simplify. As he stood near Jericho sizing up the city, suddenly he realized he wasn't alone. He looked up to see a massive man with a sword drawn in his hand. Joshua didn't recognize him, didn't see his uniform before. He wasn't from Israel, he wasn't from Jericho. So Joshua asked the obvious. Excuse me, sir, you on our side or theirs? Hoping against hope, this massive military man was part of Israel's fighting force. To Joshua standing by Jericho, looking up at a double redoubtable 4-story fortified walled city, it was simple. There are 2 armies in this battle, the army of Israel and the army of Jericho. But the man with the drawn sword in his hand knew better. He said, I'm not from Israel and I'm not from Jericho. I come from a 3rd army. In fact, I command a 3rd army. I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Hey, Josh, you miscounted. When you were taking it all in and sizing it all up, you counted 2 armies, Israel and Jericho. You counted your soldiers and theirs, your weapons and theirs. You drew up the X's and O's on the chalkboard, your army against their army. But you forgot there is a 3rd army. You forgot about the army of the Lord. Some of you listening are engaged in a battle for your health. You're facing a disease or disorder. You don't know if you have the strength to fight and win. And you've read up on it. The doctors have told you what they need to do and what you need to do. You need a little more of this, a little less of that. Try this treatment, then that treatment. And together, you and your degree doctor have formed an alliance against this disease. And you think it's going to be medical treatments and lifestyle changes that will make the difference against this disease and possibly win. But don't forget, there is a 3rd army. It's not just you and the doc versus this disease. Almighty God is the healer of all of our diseases, and He is on our side. So go ahead and make the lifestyle changes, take the treatments, do what you can. But don't despair of hope if everything you've done isn't getting it done. The commander of the army of the Lord is ready to heal. Some of you listening are engaged in a battle for your marriage and your family. You're not getting along like you used to, like you want to, like you need to. You feel like you're all alone, even if you're in a house full of family. It used to be you and them. Now it feels like it's you versus them. And you've done what you can. You've read the books, you've gone to counseling, and you're worried everything you've done isn't getting it done. But you're not fighting alone. There is a third army, and he will fight for you and your family when you and your family will call on him. Some of you listening are engaged in a battle for your freedom. You're handcuffed to an addiction you can't break loose, and you've tried everything and everyone everybody has told you to try. All the tips and tricks you've done aren't getting it done, and you're still helplessly addicted and feel hopelessly addicted. But I want to remind you, don't forget, there's a third army. It's not just you versus addiction. You're not fighting this battle on your own. Get on your knees, lift up your eyes, and you will find that Almighty God, the commander of the third army, he will fight for those who call on him. Go ahead. Today, give your addiction to God. Ask him to break the chains. Our God is greater than any addiction that will try to keep you locked up. Or maybe you're fighting to keep the lights on, the water on, and the heat on, but you don't have enough money to pay the bills, and you wonder how you're going to keep it all together. You've read the books, listened to the advice, tried to cut this here, that there, but you still have way more month than money. But if you have not asked God for his help, you have forgotten there is a third army. It's not just you and your financial advisor or you and the financial books against debt. You forgot there is a God in heaven who provides for us, and he's not out to make you rich. That's not why Jesus came. He didn't come so we could be rich. He came so we could be right with him. But if you haven't learned the lesson yet, learn this lesson. God will provide for those who will trust him and put him first. If you haven't asked for his help, he's ready to help. Now let's talk about the elephant in the recording room. Let's talk about the Equality Act. The Equality Act in Congress right now is on most Christians' mind. People have asked me before, what are we going to do if H.R. 5, this Equality Act, what are we going to do if it passes the Senate? We're going to do what we did before the bill ever got to the Senate. We're going to trust God. Somebody asked me how we're going to stand up for morality and biblical values. How can we as Christians fight an agenda that is bent on destroying God's definition of family and marriage and 6,000 years of science? Who are we? How do we fight Congress? Well, we don't fight it with riots. We don't fight it with slander on social media. In fact, if you name the name of Jesus, please, for the name of Jesus' sake, don't go on social media and slander our leaders. We don't fight this battle with hate speech and bigotry. This is not the church versus Congress. There is a third army. And in battles like these, we fall to our knees and we pray for our nation and we pray for the leaders of our nation. And we trust God that he will take care of his church just like he took care of his people Israel. Joshua and Israel did get to that promised land. And when they got there, the Lord spoke to Joshua and said, hey, Josh, I've given Jericho into your hand. I've given you its king, its mighty men of valor. Here's what you're going to do. March around the city once a day for 6 days, and then march 7 times on the 7th day. On the 7th day, after the 7th lap, when the priests blow the trumpet loud and long, everybody shouts, the walls fall flat, you run up and take over the city, and you plant your flag. Any questions? I'd have a few if I was Joshua. Lord, I missed that whole part about where we're supposed to pick up swords and spears and shields and catapults and missiles. Joshua probably had a few questions too, but he had an assurance that he's not in this battle alone. There is a third army at the ready. When the commander of the army of the Lord would call for him, he would send that third army into battle. This was not Joshua's first fight, but it was his first fight against a fortified city like Jericho. And just sharpening swords and running full speed is not going to win this war. They needed help from heaven, and so do we. And when we ask, God answers, and he fights for those who call on him. God did give Joshua marching orders, quite literally, and Joshua followed them to the letter. For the first day, they marched around that impenetrable fortified fortress of a city, and nobody said a word. The city of Jericho laughed at them and their general. Josh needs to spend a little more time in the situation room, a little less time in the sun. Second time around, they marched, not a word, more jokes. The third day, not a word. Fourth day, not a word. Fifth day, not a word. Sixth day, not a word. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Joshua, how'd you keep all the kids from asking, are we done yet? And then the 7th day, they marched the 7th time. And when they did, the priest blew the trumpet, The people lifted their voices. They shouted for everything they were worth. And scripture records, and history and archaeology confirm, those four-story double redoubtable walls that protected Jericho fell down flat. And the Israelite soldiers ran up and over those felled walls, took over the city, and planted their flag just like God said they would. There's no way Joshua wins this war. No way he gets past Jericho without help from heaven. And maybe you feel like Joshua felt, facing a foe too big for you, and you know it. But I want to remind you who are listening, it's not just you versus them or you versus it. There is a third army, and he will stand for those who will stand for him. It's time to call on the commander of the army of the Lord. Wherever you are, would you join me in praying? And let's call on the commander of the army of the Lord, and let's ask him, whatever you need, God is able and willing to meet you where you are and meet your need. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your power. I call on you today. I pray you'd minister to all of those who are listening. Help them in whatever they're battling, whatever they're going through. God, I know you're able to give them the strength. You're able to give them the answers they need. You're able to give them the peace they need, the grace they need. I pray you would fight for those who are standing for you today. I thank you, God, for your goodness and not leaving us on our own. Please minister. Please rise up before us and fight, I pray. And we will give you thanks always for your kindness, your mercy, your power working on our behalf. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I want to thank you for tuning in. This is a very special episode of Simplify. This is our 100th episode. So excited that we have reached 100 episodes. And as of right now, so there is this recording, we are lurking around 49,700 downloads. So hopefully after this 100th episode and week, we will hit 50,000 downloads at the same time we drop 100 episodes. So thank you for all those who have been with me from the beginning of this journey over nearly 2 years ago now, all the way up until those who have just started and joined the Simplify Listening family. I want to thank you for being a part of this podcast. Some folks have asked what has launched Simplify and what brought the idea on. It all started from a devotional I had written a couple of years ago called Simplify, aptly named, and it's a 52-week devotional. You walk through it, read the devotion, pray, and then hopefully, after doing that and doing that consistently, it will help you to draw closer to God. If you would like to purchase a copy of that, you can pick that up at PentecostalPublishing.com, and you could also pick it up on Amazon. It's available on Kindle. Next week, our 101st episode going into a new era, I want to share with you a devotion called When I Fall. I believe that'll be a help to you, especially in those times you do the things that you wish you didn't do, but you did. God's going to give us grace. I'm looking forward to sharing that with you next week, and always look forward to walking closer with Jesus as we walk through Simplify.